Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, as we say every day, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Well, friends, today you're going to hear a lot of pages turning. We're going to look at several scriptures today and talk about a very important thing. We're going to talk about discontent and about being defeated today. As a matter of fact, our teaching will be called Defeated and Discontented. Romans 1:7, Paul says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And he opens up a lot of his, almost all of them basically, with that type of introduction. Grace and peace, grace and peace. That's what we need. That's what we have in God. We are beloved of God. And we're pleasing to God. But you got to exercise your faith for it to manifest in your life. We know that we're beloved in our heads and maybe even in our hearts, but we don't seem to live it out. We become, you know, discouraged. Let me read some scriptures here. Just want to build your faith today and help you out a little bit today on the Voice of Vision broadcast here. Let me turn to Ephesians. Again, we're going to do a lot of page turning today, and I'm sure that's all right. Turn the page. That's what we need to do. If your life isn't going right, turn the page. Amen. I like that. Maybe someone should make that a song. Let's see. Ephesians 1:6 says, "To the praise of His glorious grace, in which He has blessed us in the Beloved." He has blessed us in the Beloved. You're saying, "Oh, this is just words to me today." Well, just keep listening, friend. If you're looking for some encouragement, I hope to give it to you today. And I also hope to give you a word of warning. We all get to those places in our life where we're feeling defeated and discontented. But in Christ, we're going to be victors. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Colossians 3:12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." See, we're holy and we're beloved as God's chosen ones. We're in Christ. But we need to put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God." But thou have got to understand. You've got to understand that without faith it's impossible to please God. But if you believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, you will see God manifest in your life. Let me give you something to chew on here. God is not against you for your sins. He is for you against your sins. We're not at war with God. We read Romans 1:7 a moment ago, and Romans 5:1 says that being justified by faith, we now have peace with God. We have peace with God, but we need to get on the right side of the battle. Because we're so mad at God that we, no wonder, are defeated and disconnected. You think about that. It says in the Bible, in the book of James, that we draw close to God and He'll draw close to us. We're supposed to resist the devil and He'll flee from us. But you imagine like a boxing ring, and on one side is you over in the corner. Maybe you're 6'6" and 300 pounds and all buff. But on the other side is God. And who's going to win that? It seems to be that we battle with God. We're supposed to be at peace with God because He's made peace with us through the death of His Son. We're justified. We're saved. We're just as if we had never sinned, declared righteous by faith. And that's supposed to bring us peace. You don't have to do things to get God to love you and to bless you. When you're in faith, you're pleasing to God and He wants to please you. But you just need to get with the program. I think about a school situation in the cafeteria, and you can't be fed lunch when you aren't in the lunch line. Think about that. Someone's sitting down and all the kids are in the lunch line and one child is just going on complaining about how there's no lunch. And all the rest of the kids look at him odd, and someone finally comes up and says, "Look, son, you have to get in the line if you want to get fed." It's the same thing. I mean, I think about it this way, that we have a meal after every Sunday morning service, and how silly would it be for someone to complain about not getting fed on Sunday morning when all they had to do was go. Let's say they left the church building and then went somewhere else and said, well, those people, they didn't feed me. Well, all you had to do was walk over to the fellowship hall, friend. And you say, J.D., pastor, that's just ridiculous. What are you trying to do? I mean, that's just silly. But friends, it's that way. Don't we treat our children that way? You know, you tell them you can't get these things unless you do these things. And you don't have to do anything for God. He's done it for you. But sometimes we don't access that. We don't exercise our faith. We're not very thankful. We're supposed to give our requests to God and then leave the judgment of whether we should get that or not to Him. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You got to keep on keeping on and give God thanks no matter what. Job 13:15 says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And for many years I've said, you know, though He slay someone I love, yet will I trust Him. And you know, that's biblical, because before Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him, he had lost loved ones, his children. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay someone I love, yet will I trust Him. We can't let that bring us down forever and down into the pit of hell. Job did say in the rest of that verse, but I will defend my ways before Him. It's all right to cry out to God and say, God, help me out here. Give me a little chocolate milk, as we like to say, with the bread of affliction. You know, the truth is that we got to say, God, what's the deal? Not God isn't real. And people get mad at God. Well, they're saying that God exists. You got to pray through these things. Daniel in chapter 9, verses 2 through 19, we see him finding that scroll of Jeremiah, realizing that they were about to get out of there because it was about 70 years. And they were in about year 66 from what I can tell. And Daniel there, and he didn't just sit on his laurels and go, well, no problem. He prayed and he repented. He didn't also just say, well, oh boy, four more years. He used it to spur him on. And you got to look at the future and realize God's glorious future for you. And as you do that, it'll make your perspective change now. You can't let the world, the flesh, and the devil steal your blessing. I mean, that's all about what Mark chapter 4, you know, the parable of the seed and the sower is all about. The riches of the world and the cares of these things, they take the word and they choke it. You know, they cut your joy out. You see, people hear the message and they come to you afterwards and say, oh, preacher, that was a good message. Or you might hear this program and say, this really ministered to me. But then you know you're going to be tested on that. See how deep your root is. You got to keep planting seed, keep tilling the soil. And if things are going good in your life and you're not defeated and you're not discontented and you're not disconnected, you got to stay connected and stay plowing and planting and watering those seeds while the getting's good, so then you will have a harvest when it isn't so good. You can't let the world, the flesh, and the devil steal your blessing. You know, you hear the message and you know it's for you and you believe it, you know, you receive it with joy. Then you let it go, you know, you go home and you let it all slip away. How often does that happen? Then you just got to go get your fix next week. Now I realize that we do need church every week, but you got to keep watching and keep praying. 1 Peter 4:7. Preachers, I'm talking to you now. We've got to get more concerned about what happens to our people after they leave the building, not just how excited they get when they're in the building. We need to teach people not only how to get it, but how to keep it. Not only how to get, you know, feeling right and doing good and all of that, but teach them how to keep it. So it's not just going through the motions and an emotional high and a fix, and it's not just all the flesh. We got to continue in prayer and abound in thanksgiving. Now, abounding in thanksgiving means we got to be giving thanks a lot, yeah. But it also means that we'll abound when you are in a continuously thankful attitude. Remember the old hymn? Whatever my lot, you know, it is well with my soul. Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We're supposed to be thankful in all things in Christ Jesus. That's His will for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The old-time Saint A.W. Tozer said that God wants to please you, but He won't do it if it will spoil you. Hebrews 13:5 says that we are right? Always with Him. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We know that we're beloved, yet we're still content. No, we're discontent. We're not ready for God's blessing. To be contented means you're ready for God to bless you because you will handle it correctly. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. Let's do this quickly. We're getting on to the last few minutes here of the Voice of Vision broadcast. Proverbs chapter 30. I love to hear the turning of the pages. I hope you do. Proverbs 30. Verses 15 and 16. It says, the leech has two daughters. Give and give, they cry. Three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. Sheol, the barren womb. The land never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough. Just keeps like an open pit. Now let's look at Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verse 20. It says, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. We're always discontent. But there's two sort of discontentments, friend. One is good and one is very, very bad. See, there's a spiritual discontentment, and then there's a carnal discontentment. The heart of a carnally discontent person is comfortless. Wherever they go, their ever-increasing misery goes with them. It's like hell on earth. The flesh is a raging fire that will never be satisfied. The carnal nature can never be satisfied. If you're discontent, you're living out of your flesh. Our contentment must be in God. That's where we're supposed to look on the heavenly things and not mind the things of the earth, because our life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. We've got to be content in God or we'll be discontent. And God sometimes takes things away from us to get us to focus on Christ. You think about Philippians 2:3-15. Jesus was able to give up heaven and take on flesh because He was content in God. He had all the treasures of heaven, but He didn't think it was something He had to grasp onto. But He emptied Himself into a body. And He gave Himself up for all of us. He was content in God. We could do a lot of sermons on James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But it proves to us that discontent originates in ourself. Self is the assertive principle in this agony of the wars that are among us and other people and give us that fightings and murders in our heart. It says you're lust at war. Self gives birth to carnal discontentment. It's always the case. Self gives birth to carnal discontentment. That's always the case. There's no exception. Psalm 127 verse 2 says this: it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. He's not saying don't work hard, folks. He's not saying put in the hours. He said that if you're doing it trying to change things and you can't do anything about it, vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. You can't have any sleep because you're eating the bread of anxious toil. But He gives to His beloved sleep. And we've said, if you're in Christ, you're one of the beloved. And you should sleep well, friends. Philippians 4:5 says, do not be anxious for anything, but in all things make your requests made known unto God. Continue in prayer and abound in thanksgiving for what you do have. This is the recipe. This is how you overcome the defeated and discontented attitude. Well, we could say so much more about that, but that's all the time we have for today's Voice of Vision broadcast. I'm Pastor J.D. Hatfield, hoping that you will be a victor in Jesus Christ and not a victim of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
Yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.